Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's Word comes to us today from the Gospel lesson. And again, after Jesus meets with the man that he had healed the second time, he says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." This is God's Word. Our judgment is always influenced by what we know at the time. For example, a man once brought a native of Ecuador named Minkaye to the United States. And one day, Minkaye went in to take a shower. The most awful noise started to come from the bathroom. So the man went in, and there was Minkaye rolling as best he could under the faucet in the tub, if you can imagine that. Minkaye didn't know how to plug the tub. He didn't know how to pull the knob up to take a shower. So there he was, rolling under the faucet in the tub. He was washing based on what he knew. Or consider the story of a teenager in the hall of his high school who all of a sudden hauls off and slugs the kid next to him, knocks him out cold. Well, the teacher saw that and the principal saw that. They rush up. The principal says, "You are gone. You are expelled. You're out of here." What did the kid say? "Man, look in his pocket." So they looked in the pocket of the kid who had been knocked out, and his hand was on a gun. The kid said, "Yeah, I slugged him, because he's going to shoot somebody." Principal reversed his decision about expelling that student, because at the time he was only working on what he knew. We base just about everything on what we know at the moment. Jesus' disciples were doing this at the beginning of this passage in John 9. They were asking, "Whose fault is it that this man was born blind?" Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 says, "The sins of the father will be punished to the third and fourth generation." So the disciples want to know if it is this man's fault he was born blind, or is it his parents' fault? See, the disciples know that this is what the Old Testament says. Based on what they know is there, it's probably the parents' fault. But which one does Jesus say it is? He says neither. Jesus says the man has been blind from birth for this moment so that Jesus can heal him and God can be glorified. Sometimes bad things happen and it's not your fault and it's not a punishment. What's more, God can twist it with his grace into something unexpectedly amazing. So, the disciples were learning. They only knew what they had been taught. It's not the disciples' fault that they ask whose fault it is. Jesus doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't yell at them. They're doing the best with what they knew at the time. The man who used to be blind is doing the best he can do based on what he knew as well. You see, when he's given vision, even before he knows who Jesus really was, he's out there witnessing about him, telling everyone, "This man made this happen for me." Even though he doesn't really know who Jesus is yet, he's giving testimony about him before the Pharisees. Even though he has no social status whatsoever, he was just begging on the street corner a couple days ago. But when Jesus reveals himself to the formerly blind man, things change again. For the man who was once blind, everything is different now. He no longer sees anything as he used to see it. He can no longer act as if he is still blind. And if God has moved in your life to give you His gifts, neither can you. What God is looking for began for our relationship with Him to be changing all the time. Call it growing or deepening, whatever you want. But it's never just there. And what's more, you can no longer act as if you're still blind. You can no longer act as if you don't know what Jesus is up to. But here's the thing. When you know better, but you don't do better, that's a problem. That was a major problem with the Pharisees. That's what Jesus calls having sight, but being blind. And Jesus implies in His teaching and in everything He does in this passage that it's better to be blind and know it than to think you have sight, to think you have it all figured out, but really be blind in here. He'll give sight to those who know that they need it, but those who don't think they need it are in trouble. This is the major dynamic at the heart of Jesus' teaching and mission and ministry. Those who admit their blindness, those who know they need grace, those who have been led to the conclusion that they need God to give to them, they are given vision for living. Those who think they see very well on their own, thank you very much, have no need for God to give to them, are blind to their own blindness. This is why Jesus and the Pharisees are always butting heads. They see no need for Jesus to give to them. And they're offended at the suggestion. And it's this unconscious slide into Phariseeism that you and I have to constantly be on guard against. You see, the way that Phariseeism manifests itself today is usually in our attitudes towards other people. Namely, when we look at other individuals or other groups of people and think at some deep down level, at least I'm not like them. I may have my quirks, but at least I'm not like him. But do you understand? If you know you are spiritually blind and that you need God to give to you, if this is ever going to work, then you have to see that everybody is in exactly the same category. Receiving the grace of Jesus destroys feelings of superiority. He didn't drink the cup of God's wrath and suffer and die on a cross to make good people better. He did it to give sight to the blind, to shine light into darkness, to rescue sinners from hell. It takes genuine humility to say, I am spiritually blind. I am in the dark. But you've got to know that if you're not saying those things from your heart, Jesus has nothing for you except words of warning. When the man who was formerly blind was given sight, he was testifying to someone he barely knew. The man thought a lot of Jesus, obviously, but he didn't really know who he was dealing with. But in that second meeting, as Jesus revealed more of himself to the man, another change took place. The formerly blind man now began to worship Jesus. This is the turning point. This is the point we all need to get to. At this point, the man who was formerly blind sees with his heart, and not just with his eyes, and both are miracles. Before he really knew Jesus, he did the best that he could with the information that he had. He even stood before religious leaders and said, "Jesus is good and he does good things." But once he really knew Jesus, once he saw Jesus with his heart in faith, he began to worship Jesus just for who he was, not just because of what Jesus could do. Have you reached that point? Do you come to Jesus not necessarily looking for something from his hand of generosity, but just looking for his face to be with Jesus? Have you come to Jesus not simply because of what he can do for you, but just for who he is? He's the Son of God. He is God. We can't see this with our eyes. You can only see this with your heart in faith. So based on what you know right now, what do you think of him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word in which we see Jesus doing two miracles in the life of this man, giving him physical vision and giving him the vision of faith that looks beyond the gifts to the giver. Father, by your Holy Spirit, teach us to do that. Teach us to look to you and to love you for who you are, for the relationship that you would have with us, and yes, for all the things that you have done to clear the way in order for that to be possible. We praise you for the death of Jesus at the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven to rule all things and to send the Spirit to give us hearts that see Jesus as our Savior, our greatest friend, and the King of our lives. We pray it in his most powerful name. Amen.